the right tick in the box to ask them what to do to help? That's another question, and that's what you're sitting here having a think about, I hope. Because we need to go back to what the mothers did. We need to go back to what the grandmothers did. We need to go and investigate what it means to us that that's an old wives' tale. Yes, it is. Don't sit on the cold concrete. You've just washed your hair and now you're not allowed outside. You can't go to bed with your wet hair. Just think of all the things that your mother said. Now, she might not have known why not, because her mother said, hello, it's the mother's Torah again. That part, which is insubstantial, which actually glues the whole culture together, is we are mammals and we are our children till they're about four. Well, they're not being breastfed and they're not in our orbit. Somebody else who's getting paid very little is looking after them. And then we're going to throw them at school. Oh, yeah. So whose dominant reality is going to go into theirs? And I say that because I've got children born in different ages. Yes, they are a different age, but they were born in different ages. Life was not the same for this mother. If I could translate the mother that I was then into there, I wouldn't have known what the hell hit me. But because it's shades of grey like domestic violence, we don't notice. So you people don't know what was going on in your mother's head when she was trying to carry you and everything was going wrong in her life, because this wasn't the story that she bought. All of a sudden she's getting bashed up. All of a sudden he wants you terminated. All of a sudden, I don't know, just about anything could be going on. And that's the reality she lived when she was pregnant. That was the wash of hormones that then were fighting, flighting whilst you were being made, which was your jing, which was your kidney chi, which is what you are now here with, before I talk about the toxins that just came along for the ride, okay? So we've got the physical, but there's way more than the DNA going on here. And then we've got the, I will call it spiritual for the want of, but we don't have a whole bunch of words that are useful on this side of the page. The energy of what was going on was affecting her emotions, and her emotions were affecting them. And then we've got her beliefs. I must be a bad girl. Look what's happening to me. I'm pregnant. And I didn't even have sex. In fact, we just, you know, had his semen on my leg, and how come I'm pregnant? I'm still a virgin. That has happened before. And now she's a bad girl. Well, actually, he wasn't going to let her out of the car until she did that. And actually, you know, now it's her fault. And now we've got a fallen woman. She's fallen pregnant. And all of that verbiage that goes on around the sanctity of human life. And the sanctity of human life is not who gets to be killed, which is what you're going to see in all of the writing. It's not who gets to be killed, as in euthanasia, and are we allowed to abort and all that. The sanctity of human life is our mother, and can she be protected enough to bring us forth in the way that optimally we would have been allowed to, had our jing been allowed to unfold the way it is supposed to? Well, the answer is no, and part of that is we all forgot about the engineering, and here we are saying we're therapists. Come on, even the physical people don't talk about it. If the uterus is out of balance, so is she. If your wheel hub is in the wrong place, it can't do the job. So what are we doing going on about? This is a good gynecological point. So we need to look at different realities of being a mother. Means different realities of the midwifery care. Means different realities of what I was expected to do as a mother. Different realities of what happened in the education process. Different realities as to whether or not these kids were exposed to the rubbish going on in other people's homes because they had TV and I didn't. Different realities as to whether or not they're going to be awash with all the chemicals that all of a sudden are coming down, filtering down along with the rain and all the rest of it, because they've been blown around, because Monsanto's allowed to do what they like. And now we've got genetically modified humans because glycine, one of our amino acids, is very similar to glycosate. So the body takes in the glycosate instead of using glycine, and so now our collagen doesn't work properly. And now you're going to, oh, but you've been using Google as your reference, Heather. Yes, I have. How the gatekeepers are going to allow real information to come through is a good question. Who allows things to be published? So yes, Stephanie Sanif might have started off doing something other than what she's doing now. Good grief. That woman's A, incredibly intelligent, B, is directed by something, and C is doing it, but it's inconvenient. It's very inconvenient to find out what Sherry Tenpenny's saying, what a whole bunch of women, and I'm going to talk about the women, like poor old Rachel Carson. Hey, nobody liked her talking about DDT and what was going on with the bald eagles. Doesn't mean it's not happening. It means the person who's in control doesn't want that leaked out. So now we've got everybody has to go to university, otherwise they're not considered to be useful. What about the people who are really amazing with their hands? When you want a plumber, how much is it going to cost? So the thing about all of this is if we go back towards the left-hand side, we then start redefining what is ethical and through which, you know, which circle are we talking about? Because I think we need to talk about the biological. And we need to look at Gaia, the planet, our mother. She's not in a good shape because we keep on raping and pillaging just like we do with women's bodies, just like we do with anything that's natural. Let's pretend we're not natural therapists, shall we? Let's look at the ethics of going, we don't need nutrients. We just need to have chemicals that somebody's got a patent on. We're going to pretend flows don't need to happen. We're going to get more and more and more and more and more shut down. What with our armour in, and you can look at any of that, the work of Reich from that, from our inability to get out of our own way, so our liver chi is stuck, so everything hurts, so we move it less and less because it hurts. We've got to look at flows and nutrients. Okay, so if we were going to go on a different side of the page again, we'd be looking at another colour pen. We'd be looking at flows and nutrients. Now, this doesn't look like anybody else's ethics lecture, I know. I'm doing it on purpose because some of us just don't gel with rules particularly well. And the rules I'm trying to get us to listen to are our body's rules, because that's what we're supposed to be doing, helping other people's flows to flow on every level. And then I go back again to my three circles and my line. Because if we're going to ask any questions of our practice, we need to go, is it safe? Right. So shall we look at safe? Is it safe for us to actually put a needle in because we haven't got our APRA accreditation? Is it actually safe for us to do what none of our peers would do? Is it actually safe for us to hug them because the poor things just let loose something that, you know, they actually look like they're about two at the moment and they're going to need a mum? Well, it's a bit awkward if you're a man. Safe. Well, that's this construct, except actually it's this construct too. So what makes things safe in this department? Well, got to be able to undo 7 and 8 year cycles. It's got to go through the cycle of life. Do we have an environment that that can happen in? Not really. So what we're looking at is the bastardization of the planet, and we're going to pretend we're going to diagnose it, and we're going to talk about TCM. It's not in this box, and Heather, get out of the naturopathic in here, as I'm told frequently, and I'm going, right, well, I think you've forgotten that mothers actually rule the world. And when you're so damaged that what's anybody going to do with you, then you're going to go home to mum. And if you haven't got a mum, somebody who's standing in for mum. And, you know, a couple of days ago I discovered that there was a study done. Now, those studies are great things, those studies. The study that was done found out that, and it's over 24 years, 93% carryover rate, two mothers are better than one mother. Go and get yourself a lesbian family quickly. Okay, now why might that be? Well, you know, we go through cycles. Now, they might be in sync and they might not. But hey, if one of them's feeling remarkably bitchy, the other one's just going to take over. And, you know, she's going to go into her own little red tent and might be in the garden like me. And there's still somebody on deck. That's a lot safer for the kids. Ha! Gee, I think we actually need to get a sense of humour about this. And in other times, it wasn't two mothers, it was the village of the mothers. Because the dads were out there killing each other. And occasionally they brought back a deer or a bloody saber-toothed tiger or something. And the women were out there relating. And they were digging holes in the ground and they were planting things and they were finding things. And they were the glue that held it all together. And the men came back and they hadn't caught anything. And not only that, this one's damaged and that one's dead. Right, well, we've still got to have something to eat. Isn't it good? There's nettles in your garden and you can make nettle soup. Oh no, they're weeds. Yeah, they're not actually their food. So the long and the short of this is we've got this classification of good and bad, and we've got to get a sense of humour about it. We're at the top of, and we're at the top of first world, but hey, where did we come from? And what kept us going? The mothers. And what they knew? The mother's Torah. Okay, the father's Torah is the Bible. The father's Torah is the rules. You know, this is what's written, and you're only allowed to do whatever the mother's Torah is. Oh, let me just give you a cuddle. It looks like you're having a bad day, dear. Okay, we're human. Now, I'm not saying men are bad. I'm saying that we've got to get a sense of humour about how everybody's been socialised, because three of my children are men. Oh, gosh. Watching the shutdown of those very sensitive, beautiful beings to fit into this society's version of what a man is, it has not been fun for this mother. And their fathers have been remarkably broken by their fathers and what our culture does. And this is what we do. This is our middle circle. So can you tell me again what's safe? Safe is if you are following the rules, because if you're not following the rules, bad things will happen. Ha! We have to do our ethics again. Bad things will happen. Now, sure they do. They happen because we've been excluded from those who've got the power. So we're running an exclusion model. However, we want things to flow. You know, they've come in and they've got their bad neck or whatever. Except they're missing the bit that says that, you know, their husband's beating them up. Okay, so we've got this other thing, which is fight or flight. Okay, so our fight or flight, what's that up to? Up to something really interesting. That's we're stuck in it. We've got what I call a moderated panic. We're paralysed. Now, nothing's flowing. Our gut's not flowing. Our blood's not flowing. Our chi's not flowing. Our shin's definitely not flowing. And it isn't bad enough yet. When it gets bad enough, you'll just walk out, leaving the kids behind, if that's what has to happen. When it gets bad enough, there's going to be a sovereignty issue. And who's going to win? Well, I'd like to think the spark that got you here is going to actually go, bing! Oh, Heather, what's that word mean? Well, you might write down what you think sovereignty is. Because all of us have got why we're here. And very few of us are standing true in that. Because why? Because we've been socialised into being civilised.
Bad things will happen if we open our mouth.
They quite often do when I open my mouth, because it comes a point when it just comes out. And I think some of you might feel the same in order to be watching this. So when we're looking at bad things will happen, what's the worst that can happen? You stay stuck! Spoken like a true Aquarian. You cannot stay stuck all your life. You can't do it. Women, they get helped along by their monthly cycle. Oh, let's pretend we don't need a cycle. The doctor said it was safe to be on the pill, and now my daughter's bleeding at 9, and she had a horrendous period, so we're going to put her on the pill. God. Why don't we investigate precocious puberty and what happened? Because that's not a 7-year cycle. And I've done presentations on that. We're going to stick to let's ask questions. This is about asking questions. And so, you know, just hot blood. What caused the blood to be hot? Oh, she was pissed off. Why? She was possibly raped. Okay, bad things did happen. Her chi's not flowing. Now we've got the chi not flowing. She can't tell anyone. It's a secret. So now we're going to have all sorts of things happening because nothing's working and women's blood needs to flow because it's going to fill up and let go and fill up and empty. And our fetal palace down there, whether we're ever going to have a baby, is making nests as we speak. And it's going to open and shut and open and shut and And she's going to feel as though this is just a curse. And yes, it is. Because we don't respect, we do not honour our bleeding. So I went to beliefs. And now I do self-care courses for women. Because that's the information that our mothers didn't know. Their grandmothers didn't know. That's ridiculous. Now some of us have spent a lifetime reading novels. And I can tell you that should you get into anything about Avalon, if you get into anything about any culture, we're going to have those who are just plucked out of the rabble and sent off with the wise woman, the medicine man, the whomever, because they're special, they're marked, okay? I'd be one of them. Now, I had to bring myself up with no mentors, but I did. I was mentored by all of these novels. And I just got driven to do things, you know. I just had to be somewhere at a certain point. And you can probably all relate to that. And so when we're looking at safe, is it safe for that sensitive wee soul to come through? Yes, because it needs to have that life experience of being that broken to actually have the awareness and the ability to rise above, to then be able to be the light in that corner, join the light in that corner, to join the light in that corner, to become, turn the lights on instead of let's hide, because what'll happen? You saw what happened with Mao's bunch. You saw what happened with Hitler's bunch. Wake up, human beings. You're doing it all to yourselves all over again. Oh, we won't get childcare payments if we don't kill our kids slowly with anti-inflammatory stuff that's going to really, just what is the biological template? Really? We're going to shut you down with guns in the States. We're going to come along. We're going to take our children, the children away until they are injected. Why? Whose benefit is this serving? Because we're not doing an accountability study. We are not doing, is it safe? Because if we were going to do what I call falsification, which is Thomas Kuhn, go and have a look at KUHN, Thomas Kuhn, and his works back in the 1960s. And if you want to prove something true, the fastest thing to do is to prove it wrong. If you can't, it must be true. Well, there's a thought. We'll ask the questions that make it true. We won't ask the questions that we know are going to make it not true. We're only going to include the experiments that showed what we wanted. We're going to leave out the 98% that showed us something else. And we're going to talk to that one, not to all of them. But we couched it in a way that we should have had them all looking like that. No, look, it must be dangerous. Well, we put so much money into it, we're going to say it's like this. Never mind the consequences. And if we tell everybody at gunpoint almost that they have to do this or else, they're going to actually go, what if something bad happens? Yeah, it is. You've lost your sovereignty. You're not allowing the blueprint to manifest as it should. And oh dear, but somebody might die. Yeah, they do all the time. It's called survival of the fittest. That's why there is a very, very unethical business going on at the moment, and you're going to get really upset, some of you. And I'm here poking the bear because I'm really upset, because I've been doing this longer than any of you. There, it's out there. And let's just follow it off with another word. What the hell does everybody think they're doing following what the Mao doctors think is safe? Because all the research says it isn't. Go and look at the work from Heinze Geller. Heinze Geller wrote a book that didn't get any traction. Heinze, G-O-E-R, so she wrote another book. This is back in 1994. Yes, it's old, Heather, that the research needs to be redone. No, it doesn't. She was talking to the physical. She wrote a book called The Thinking Woman's Guide to a Better Burn. A third of it is research citations. She then wrote Obstetric Myths versus Research Realities. If you went and got them, or just went onto her site and looked at the articles and went through everything she's doing, you would see that everything that is happening in the obstetric hospital near you is unethical because it is not backed up by research. It is not following the bonding that needs to happen between mum and baby. The only safe birth, let me take you back along my line, which is on another side. Half of the impact that's ever going to happen to that being has happened by the time it is two. That's mum. By the time it's 10, it's 2/3. That's mum. Her version of life is yours, whether you like it or not. What are we doing having people making money in the middle of that? Stop it. It's not good enough. It's not ethical. Because what goes on is I, having done this longer than anybody else, can see the effects of your actions. Stop it. Stop looking at those people who have written books, who are scientists, who've got degrees, who've got qualifications in medicine, so they're asked to write a TCM book. Stop it. Go and ask cultures that have women never die in birth, like the Belizeans. They looked after her sacrum. They were eating real food. They were working their bodies. They knew what herbs to take for what. Zero maternal mortality. those older midwives had zero formal education. They had life experience. They were taught by those who knew. This is not good enough. It's also not good enough that we've forgotten about prayer, and I am not religious. Shall we take you back to placebo? I'm really good at losing my bits of paper. I found it. We got the pill. The pill is standing in for every procedure that somebody who's being paid to administer says you need. It's an important point. We could have the embodied moral experience, including the laying on of hands, the expressions of kindness, the acts of decency, commitment to being present. Are you in fact even present in that room when the person is there? Have you cleared yourself? Have you cleared the room? Is it safe for that person, with everything that they've got going on, to actually be in your orbit today because you've just discovered something you're really pissed off, but you have to make the money because your mortgage is due and blah, blah, blah. Now, some of us are a bit more attuned to this and have a cosmic receptionist, and if we haven't got the ethics and the integrity to stop everything, and we think we can go through the motions, then it will be stopped for us. And you can lose 10 patients in a day like that. You've had an argument with your husband. I've had it happen. They're coming back, but you know, the car broke down. They just don't feel like it because somebody said something, they get upset. You know, like it's not about you, but it is about you, okay? We have a sphere of influence. So if we're going to pretend none of this matters, then we're going to think, silly old bat. Yes, they killed the witches, I know, because it was too true. And it's inconvenient. Could you go and look up hand washing? Just go and look up what happened about hand washing. Serious. Do you know what happened about hand washing? I posit you don't. Now, it's not about Ernst Semmelweis, who in 1847 or whatever it was, finally went mad and was died in Bedlam. Now, that poor lad had worked out, independently of the other several bright men, about, you know, 50-year gap each time. I'm not sure I can bring up their names, but I might be able to. This is just beyond a joke. It's just beyond a joke. The men in their games, and you're in my gang, and they aren't. Okay, so there he is. He's discovered that none of his women in birthing are dying of purpura or fever. Because he's making everybody wash their hands with carbolic soap. However, in every other medical establishment, best practice, got their black hats on. Up to a third of the women are dying in birth because they're discovering what runs the body. That would be the cadavers. That would be we get money from the long dead cadavers being coming along in a wheelbarrow and using the same same instruments on them. Not even washing them under the tap, because they don't have taps. Inside the women, next 10 dies, horrendous explosion of the body. What about all of those other children she had, now motherless, without any form of anything? Oh well, streets of London. I mean, look really, why did we not leave the midwives in charge? They weren't being so damn stupid. Ah, but they were called drunk, and they were called all sorts of witches, and if they weren't killed, they were drummed out of town. Because they were doing stuff, yeah, they were. They were helping people when they were dying, they were laying out the dead, they were helping people when they were being born, and they had too much control. We want control. We're now not killing each other so much, we're not dying so much in the fields because a horse fell on us or whatever. We need a job. Let's take over what they do, and it's going to be ours and we own it. Yes, well, that's what's happened to your medicine. And so what we're doing here is playing the game. Well, stop playing the game. This is called we have to do ethics, right? We're doing ethics. Is it ethical to not look at the bottom circle because it's not safe to be doing what we're doing? When we come in, we have to have a mother who wants to have us. We have to have a mother who loves us because she can't not, because she felt us come out. Go and look at any of the work of Michelle O'Dont. Now, I just don't know what's gotten into people. Well, I do. They think those that have never bled or birthed can run the ship. You need to go and look at Michelle O'Dont and everything he has written. He's getting on a bit now, I know. 20-odd years ago, he put a site up called the Primal Research Institute. He followed it up with womb ecology. And he's got in there the future of suicide, and he can predict by looking at the birth trauma somebody got. what sort of suicide they'll do.
Mm.
Is it ethical to do what we're doing to the young babies at the junction of when they're going to start breathing? No. Let me count the ways. I'm a little bit irked by what everybody thinks is okay because so-and-so said. That's their opinion. Did you get a bit real about citing whoever it is and what date they wrote that book? Who gives a damn one of them? That's their opinion. Is it biologically sustainable? More than likely not.
Making money, though.
Is it biologically sustainable? That is the ethical question that you all need to be asking in your practice. And in your lives, and in your kitchens. And why aren't you growing your food? Is it biologically sustainable? Because fertility acupuncture sure as hell isn't. Just saying. Anyway, when we come up here, it'll pay your mortgage. It'll pay for that swank new car you've got out there. I get it. Is it biologically sustainable? Is never asked. So now I'm going to go to, is it a primal experience? Heather. Sounds a bit interesting. Yes, yes. I have had one child that I felt come out.
I'm here to tell you, it's one hell of a difference.
And you might want to go and get some rescue remedy because you were born to. You might want to take another drink of water. Take a deep breath because this is when we get into the guts of it. All sickness is homesickness by Diane Connolly. Yes, I know she's a five-element practitioner. Look, this is really women's business. I don't know that I've mentioned many men except my two masters here. They were in their hearts. Because I'm seeing them, the woman's voice, gone. Where's her story? It's not there except... that's our mother. How ethical is it for us to write the women out? It isn't really, because that's where we come from. So when we're having a primal experience, it is there in all of its glory. And that means, what does it mean to me when? The original midwives were with women. They were women, they had felt, they know what it means to be tattered around in the breeze for the rest of our lives. We need to fix it. Somebody's hacked it. Excuse me, I also sew. If you want to get that material to rip, you do that and then it does. Let's do an episiotomy, oh you fools. You obviously haven't done much in the way of seamstressing. You get the drift. It may or may not tear. Hey, Miss Hortense, who had helped several thousand women birth in Belize, had never seen a rip or a tear. What are we thinking we're doing? We're designed to open and shut. What's all this fear? Well, somebody's making money from it. C-section, right? Okay. The men are in charge. And they have trained the women to think like them. Otherwise, they're out. They're not in their gang. So, which one of those women who are obstetricians has not been outed and done all sorts of terrible things to? The only way she can be there is to have that level of contamination with her. This is not okay. Who's the expert in birthing? The person who's carrying the baby. She's not allowed to think it through. She will think it through. And I have amazing footage I show my patients when they're quite pregnant. And I sit them down and I watch one of an elephant birthing and the baby doesn't breathe. And that's called risky business with an eye. And it's in one of the Balinese zoos, so you can find it. It's 5 minutes, and I will tell you the baby's okay at the end because it doesn't look like the baby's going to be okay. Eventually, mum gives it a bloody big kick, and it doesn't do anything. So then she's trumpeting, she's freaked out. This kid needs to be breathing, and it's just lying there inert. So then she gets her trunk. I might start crying. I'm a mother. Never mind. And wraps it around the and she dumps it, and the kid starts breathing. Thank God. Okay, so now she's kicking it. It's got to get up. There be lines. Okay, so now we've got, it's biological. You've got to have mum functional. If you don't have mum functional, how is she going to stop the new boyfriend raping that kid at 10? She's not, is she? She's not there. She's out to lunch. She's not connected. If we are not connected to, I'm sorry, I'm only connected to one of them like this because I only felt one come out. I know the difference. I'm here to tell you it's no fun mothering when you don't have that primal connection, because that's here. Got a social connection. I'm talking about the primal experience has to be embedded in the physical. It ain't. Most women, they're going to sign out for that. Thanks, we'll have the sunroof option. Yeah, good. Let's do that and stuff them up. Great idea, not. You don't even know the kid's in the right position. Oh, head down. The midwife says it's fine. No, it's not. It's got to be on the left-hand side if we're white. Somali women probably can only do it from OP, but we have to be able to do it from over there. Oh, let's put them all on their back. Yeah, how ethical is that? Just if you're a woman, go and stand up for a minute. I don't know if you're going to see my hands move. Right, I'm on the sacrum, I'm on the pubic bone. I go backwards. So what do you think? Then I go forwards. Are my hands moving? Because I can feel them move. They are moving, aren't they? Right. You're open 30% by going forward. How ethical is it to have women lying on their backs when they're in labour and birthing? It's a good question. Some man thought it was a good idea. Because if they're a woman and they birth, they wouldn't have it there. Because that is shutting it down. And we actually need it to be safe for the baby to come out. So, we need to start asking biological questions rather than social questions, because the social ones are getting us into a big pickle. It's called, is it safe? Will we get shut down? Are they going to fine us? Blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. Bigger things at stake here. Which baby likes its mum these days? Has to behave itself, otherwise it will get killed, because they are a damn nuisance. I'm saying this as a mother. And so if we're not bonded from where we need to be bonded, we're going to have a different response, which includes, I don't like being a mum, I want to get back into my career, I can put it in childcare, oh look at that, I can't breastfeed, oh dear, never mind, where we go over here. Is it ethical to not allow women the ability to birth? No, because then they can't breastfeed. If they can't breastfeed, let's take over the immunity process by making money from it. Let's shut everybody down. I'm going to go back to Belize again. They had an amazing system of herbs, and everybody knew what to do. So, when you became a teenager, as a girl, I don't know what they did with men, because I'm doing women's business here, they must have done something with the boys. The women had to get themselves onto the coast, and, you know, where's Belize, Heather? Well, I didn't know either. And I'm a terrible drawer, so, you know, if I say, I do this, I don't have a map of the world, look. Here's South America, here's North America. Am I right? I'm doing the woman thing, am I orientated right? Okay. So here we have a little bit of a snippet down here, which is Mexico, and then we've got this bit here. Africa's over here, Australia's down here. Okay, so we've got, here's South America. At the top of South America, just on that bit that goes out, for you goes out like that, there is Belize, which is bordered by Guatemala and probably Mexico. I don't know. Guatemala on two sides and probably Mexico down the bottom. You go on a bit further, you'll get to Suriname, and so it goes down there. So it's at the top, so it's in the Caribbean area, okay? And so quite a way, and there's the Yucatan Peninsula, quite a way when you're walking. I mean, it's big enough, you know, and there be panthers, there be all sorts of snakes. Oh, I discovered there are 89 species of snakes in Belize, and 81 of them are venomous. And I was really happy. I put it out there. Look, I'm quite happy. Just don't have me run into a snake. I'm a Kiwi. So I'm going along at dusk. A bloody snake falls onto the path. Chances aren't good that it's an anaconda. It's a little. It's going to be pissed off because it's fallen down. But I'm going, oh, really? And I mean, I can't go down there. There's the Macau River. I'm going down to that lovely little place we're staying with no electricity. So I'm sort of backing up there going, oh yeah, I haven't got my light. And what's that snake going to do? Because you need to piss off, mate. I've got it to step over you. And then thankfully somebody came along the path. Tromp, 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 tromp. And she had a light and this one disappeared. And I'm thinking, you can go first. there we are. Anyway, so in Belize, you know, you're going to run into mischief pretty quickly. So everybody, as kids, knew what to do. Otherwise, they'd be dead. You know, it's the quick of the dead. Oh, no, not here. We don't need to worry about that. Yeah, but in other places and other times, we have been remarkably bright. We haven't been staring at screens all day, going, I don't want that. We've actually been out there helping the food happen, otherwise we won't be eating. We'll get cuffed if we're, you know, is it ethical to not have children understand where food comes from? There's another question. Is it ethical for people to think that it's okay to be doing what they're doing and call it food? Not actually. So getting back to the Belizean story, there you go. You've got to somehow get yourself to the coast, to a particular place on the coast where you're going to be picked up in by that canoe. Shades of the Mists of Avalon. And there's one family of men who are the only family who are allowed to canoe the women to Cozumel, which is now where everybody goes off and does their skin diving. Anyway, back then it was the women's island, and that's where the women met. Shades of all sorts of other myths in the world. Now, this might have only happened between 600 and 800 AD or whenever it was, before the Aztecs came and guard your heart, ripped out the living hearts and all of that. But this is what some cultures have done for their women, which is actually for their whole lives, which is actually, is it ethical to not be a feminist? Because we are the ones that grow the next crop of people. So then we have, we've magicked ourselves onto the beach, we've bled a couple of times, and now we're allowed to. This is our initiation. We've got ourselves, we've had to provide food for ourselves and get there safely. Now that's an initiation in itself. And here we are, we haven't got everybody. Have you got enough bus money? Nope. We've ended up there, and there we are on the canoe. He's not allowed to set foot on the island. So we have to be able to swim, otherwise we're not going to get onto the island. And there we are for 40 days, magic number. And there we are, we've had at least one period. And on the island of Cozumel, we're going to be taught how to be a woman. How to bleed, how to have sex, what to do for contraception, what to do when we're pregnant, etc., 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 etc. All of the herbs, all of the everything, the massage, the whatever. You know, the midwives are there, whatever. Right, that's where everybody gets trained. That's women's business. It keeps the culture going. The men go and kill each other. They take slaves. They get killed by the panthers and the snakes and the forest and so forth. But the women are the ones who don't die in childbirth, see? Magic point, they don't try and die because they've been taught what to do. And then they turn around and come back again. Make it home, get married. She's getting a bit snarky. He's probably going to say, you know, my sister used to go and get one of those plants that looked like that over there and do whatever. Because he'd remember. So if she's forgotten, somebody will tell her. And if terrible things have happened to her, she can always go and say stuff this and go off to Cozumel. Or if she's done her time, I'm not a crone yet, I'm a queen. When she's done her time, she can go back there and do what I'm doing here, which going, could we please pay attention? The women are the story holders and they're the ones that glue us together and they're the ones that have the ethics of life. We've got the ethics of the men, the science and the money and the power. We've got the ethics of life. I'm saying this before we take a break because I've got a daughter who's massively brain injured and nearly 30 in her own nappies. I don't think it's very ethical that she's still on the planet. And I probably love her more than anybody else in the world. So I think I'm quite qualified to give this conversation. And if you haven't looked at my neurological challenges, please do, because later on we're going to be doing this whole talk is going to be about pain and suffering. And where does that come from? Disconnection from our mind, to our uterus. Disconnection from here. Not in accordance with what we're here to do. We're not standing true. We do not have sovereignty. We have allowed other people to take parts of ourselves. We have carried parts of other people. We have got entities from heaven knows what. Now, this is where I come back to prayer and finishing. Don Lehiofonte, here we go. He's not Dr. Shen now. I never met him, okay? He died. Rosita was his apprentice. And, you know, I'm doing the Avigo stuff in here because you don't know about it and you need to. He prayed. He spent the whole time praying. Hello, that's on that side of the page. Okay, so we're going to go out in a minute and kapal each other. We're not doing it here because we've got some smoke detectors, but you might go onto my site, heathersays.com, look over at self-care, down there to spiritual bathing, and find out about it. There is this thing called we have to clear ourselves because we're not the physical vehicle. We are in the physical vehicle. We are bigger than the physical vehicle. We have auras and nadis and chakras and goodness knows what, light bodies and all sorts of things. And they get hooked into other people's mores. And we pick up other people's stuff, you know. Was there an Aboriginal massacre out there on the beach? And are some of us picking up the fragments of what was left? Did somebody die in that house and they've sold it without telling you and nobody's cleared it? Heck, you know, is there a really bad ley line running through here? Well, that's this stuff. Oh, witchy business, no, it's chi. We forgot we're doing chi medicine. And could you have a look at the Shaolin monks? There's a book called Encounters with Chi by a guy called David Ein something. I can't remember his last name. Anyway, you look it up. He wrote it in the 80s. Encounters with Chi, David something. E-I-N something. I'm sorry, I've lost it. And he was with Nixon's party going through China for the first time. And they had translators and they had people keeping them out of things they weren't allowed to look at. And he saw a Qigong master manipulating a needle from here. There's the needle. What do we think we're doing? We're going to validate it. We're going to talk about sham needles, are we, really? It's chi medicine. You forgot. So we're going to have a break now. Now we're going to see if I'm actually taped. Can you pause me? Hopefully one of them is. Am I right now? Okay. In the second segment, we're going to talk about pain. We're going to talk about pain because when I started as an acupuncturist, my patients all had pain, otherwise they weren't coming to see me. So when we go back to the late 1970s, it was not where we're living now. Then specialists used to shake people's hand and wish them well and tell them to get their affairs in order for just about everything. So I had a whole clinic full of people with dodgy bodies because they had really bad rheumatoid arthritis. And let's take a little walk back through how these people were made, because it's a bit important, and I'm the gardener who's also a mother. So if we go, here's another line we're going to draw on the page here. And here we go, we've got the now that we see as being the ever-present now, and it's the only one we've ever had. We'll say 2020, but we're not there. And I'll go backwards, okay? So here we are around about here, and here we have 2010, and here we have 2000, and I'm not going to have enough room. Here's 1990, and here's 1980, here's 1970, and it connects. So we're going to go back that way, which is very interesting for those who get a bit pedantic about things looking right. That would be me. 1950, 1940, 1930, 1920, 1910, 1900, back that way. And then I'm just for the hell of it, I'm going to do something else. 1890, 1880, 1870, 1860. Why am I doing this? Because we are living the reality that these people, oh look at that, New Zealand has apparently discovered them. Right, by the white man. Everybody else has been minding their own business there for quite some time. At least it wasn't Terra Nova, whatever they called it. Okay, so I'm just going to say, just for the record, I was born in 55, my mother was born in 25, her mother was born in 1893. Her mother would have been born about 1870 because, you know, she was the eldest and they were probably married in their early 20s. And so her mother, same again, was probably married about here. Okay, so this is me, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my great-great-grandmother. You can do the same on the page for yourself, because the programs that those who bore us and grew us and sent us off on our way and tended our wounds and kissed it better, was all back then. And so we've got now, and we're going forward to the great new brave new world, thinking that this is all there ever was. Except the current now has been rather dependent on what made us. And so here we have again the conception
the birth, the 10 years and death of this physical vehicle. And what's the thing that's most affecting a person to want to change? It's going to be pain. You know, they get relatively comfortable and things getting stuck and more and more and more constrained and more problems until one day, you know, look, if you ask people, when did that period pain start? It wasn't this morning. When did that sore neck first happen? Well, it's a reignition of something that might have happened 71 years ago. But here they are now, because today it crossed a line. And so now that they're concerned with pain. And so the pain that they've got is they can't, it doesn't feel comfortable enough for them to be able to carry on with what they've got. And so the patients that I used to have coming in had given up on every damn thing, and as a last resort they were going to the local acupuncturist. Now, you know, I looked about 15 or 16 when I was in my early 20s when I was doing this, so of course they were, you know, like the same age as my great-grandmother, probably, some of them, because I had people in their 80s and 90s as a matter of course.